Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey y'all, welcome back to Eco Chic, a podcast all about practical science and sustainability. I am so excited to welcome you to episode 34 because it's the first episode of December, which I think is a really exciting time to be thinking about sustainability and climate change and just being really conscious with our purchases and things of the sort. But I'm also really excited about episode 34 because I feel like it's getting close to episode 50. And I know it's still like after this, it's going to be 15 episodes away, but I'm just like getting really excited about it. Which I know like I'm getting just too excited too early, but I feel really proud of like where this podcast is going and that we've been sticking with it for so long. And every week I feel like we get better and better. And this week on Eco Chic, I'm really excited to be talking about something that we haven't really touched on yet on the podcast, and that is clean beauty. The idea of clean beauty is something that's really intriguing to me from not only a sustainability perspective, but also just like a personal health and wellness perspective. So I am really conscious of skincare. That's something that I'm personally like a crazy person about. Just making sure that my skin is always protected with sunscreen and making sure that I have like a full nighttime routine, especially because I'm living in the desert right now. So that's something that I'm just like personally really on top of. And I'm always listening to podcasts and reading things and trying to just educate myself on what is going into my body and what's being absorbed. And I think it's something to really notice that our body is our largest organ. So it's important to think about what we're putting on it. But beyond skincare, we can also think about other personal care items. Like today, my friend Hallie and I are talking about things like aluminum-free deodorants, but also mascaras and other beauty products of that sort. So there's so many topics that we can get into under the topic of clean beauty. And I feel like today was a really, really good intro to what that whole realm is all about. So like I just mentioned, today I'm speaking with my friend Hallie. Hallie is actually in the pharmaceutical industry, which is really exciting because she can talk about clean beauty from a chemistry type perspective, which is really, really helpful in this scenario. But she is also a consultant for Beauty Counter, which is a B Corp natural beauty company. And they make different makeup items and skincare items and things of the sort. So Hallie is really, really educated on being able to talk about clean beauty, both from the scientific perspective and also just like the Beauty Counter perspective. So I'm so thankful that she was able to join me and introduce y'all to the topic of clean beauty. I also have to say that the reason that I know Hallie is because she grew up with my friend Elizabeth. And Elizabeth is one of those people who she's very right place, right time. She is such a hustler. She's brilliant. And she's really someone who is just such a light. So thank you so much, Elizabeth, for putting Hallie and I together. But also I would like to encourage everyone else to think about the connections you can make in your life and how you can just really serve as a resource for your friends and your family on the topics that you're an expert in. Or if there's someone you know that is struggling with a particular issue, if you could put them in touch with someone who's already been there, done that. Like, I know personally a lot of my students who are trying to get into med school, like, I didn't get into med school, I didn't apply for med school, I don't know what that process is like, but I love to connect them with my friends who are in med school. You know what I mean? So it's one of those things that if you can put people in contact with mentors to help them grow and just learn a little bit from someone who's already had a personal experience in that industry, I would really encourage all of y'all to do that because that's something that I have really fallen into this year and something I'm really thankful that I've picked up as a skill and as a habit, just making sure that I'm really connecting the other people in my life. So thank you, Elizabeth, for putting Hallie and I together, and I encourage all y'all to continue to do the same. And on that topic, I will get into today's episode with Hallie, all about clean beauty. Hi, Hallie. How are you?
I'm great. How are you, Laura?
I am doing really, really well. I'm so excited to be talking to you today for Eco Chic, all about clean beauty and clean skincare.
Me too. I'm so excited. I think the two intertwine so much, you know, between clean beauty, I mean, whatever you're into, and then sustainability, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Before we get started and get into our conversation, because I'm ready to like do a really deep dive picking your brain about all of these things.
Yeah.
Could you go ahead and introduce yourself to the audience, anyone who might not be familiar with you?
Yes. Okay. So I'm Hallie Beeler. I full-time am a pharmaceutical rep, but on the side, I have my own clean beauty, clean skincare, clean personal products, whatever you want to call it, blog called Sierra Sublimité, which is French for safe sublimity, you know, just focusing on safe products that people can use on their skin and not have to worry about potentially harmful ingredients. And then also just really trying to educate people on the lack of regulation in the personal care product industry.
That is a really great little synopsis of who you are. So tell me a little bit about like what got you interested even in starting your personal blog on clean skincare and clean beauty and sustainability. Was there any sort of like big event that kind of woke you up a little bit to the idea of clean skincare and clean beauty?
Yeah, I would say there were a few. I mean, just hearing about it on social media, I guess, originally. And then I had my grandpa died of lung cancer, never smoked a day in his life. He grew up, him and a bunch of his siblings and his parents, for the most part, have all had cancer or died from cancer. And they grew up around a factory where they were dumping chemicals. I mean, we don't have any proof that there was a link to that, but I mean, everybody in their family and so many of their old neighbors have, again, had cancer or have passed from it. And also, I mean, I grew up in Greensboro, North Carolina. There's been a few younger teens, 20s, that have had cancer or different types of cancers. And then from there, I found out about Beauty Counter, which I'm now a consultant for them. I'm coming up on 2 years in March, which Beauty Counter is skincare and makeup line that uses direct sales. I'm gonna, you know, say not an MLM or pyramid scheme, but direct sales to promote non-toxic, safe skincare and makeup. So I got into that, and then shortly after that, one of my best friends found out that she was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma, and her doctors told her that it wasn't anything genetic. It was most likely from environmental factors. So from anything in the air to things she put on her body. I think at that point, it really became like, I was very into it. But at that point, when it's someone that you're so close to, it becomes more real that could be you.
Oh, wow. Yeah, no, that's a really powerful experience. And I feel like I haven't personally known anyone who has been diagnosed with someone that has been linked to environmental factors. I feel like I've heard a lot about it, and I feel like it's definitely something that is, I mean, I don't have the statistics on it. I don't want to say that it's on the rise, but it's something that I'm hearing about more prevalently. So yeah. I'm really glad that you can kind of like make that link between just what you put into your body and like what you're absorbing and what you're exposing yourself to. There are some things that you have no control over, just like based on where you live and what kind of pollutants are near you or whatever it might be. But when it comes to like skincare and beauty, you totally have control over what is being absorbed into your body. So I think that's a really, really great little, you know, like connection.
Yeah. And to get into the statistics, like you said, that I always tell people, like 40 years ago, 1 in 20 women were diagnosed with breast cancer, and now today it's 1 in 8. So that just, you know, gives you some sort of idea.
Oh, yeah. No, I think that's a really, I'm glad that you brought up the statistic of breast cancer, because I feel like bringing it back to the conversation of like beauty and skincare and other products that we're putting onto our bodies, the one natural beauty product that I have been like really aggressive about not bending on for a couple years now has been an aluminum-free deodorant, like just a really clean, you know, like something that just doesn't have aluminum in it, something that you're not absorbing directly onto, you know, like your armpits have a lot of nodes that are connected to your breast tissue, and there is a lot of research that's connecting deodorant and breast cancer. And I was kind of just like, honestly, it was something that never crossed my mind. And at one point, I want to say it was like my freshman year of college, I went to a CVS to buy some, like, just to like buy something else random, and I had a deodorant in my cart. And this woman from the beauty section of CVS was like, please let me break this down for you and like why you cannot be using this anymore. And she was just like such a wealth of knowledge. And it was something that like kind of, it honestly like just really shook me. Like it was something that just like stuck with me. So for that reason, I always feel like deodorant is such an easy self-care item to make sure that you're buying natural.
Yes, it really is.
It really is. And I was wondering if there's any other like big ticket items, I guess. Maybe big ticket is not the word, because that I feel like has a connotation of, you know, expensive. But I mean, like, just an easy item to get into in your self-care routine when it comes to just basic, natural, like cruelty-free, whatever it might be, when it comes to beauty.
I would say, in terms of, I guess, beauty, if you use body lotion, that's going to be a big one for you. I don't really use a lot of body lotion. I probably should in the winter months, but I mean, your skin is your largest organ. I mean, there's a ton of surface area with it. So, you know, whatever you're putting the most of on your body, I would say that's going to be, as you said, your big ticket item that you're going to want to switch. Another thing, not really beauty or skincare, but tampons.
Oh, yeah.
Your vagina is one of the most absorbent, if not the most absorbent, part of your body. And regular tampons that you buy at the store, they're going to have all sorts of ingredients. They have bleach in them. I think that's a big thing you can switch. Cora and Lola are two good brands. I know there's another, I think it's called L at Target. They have organic cotton, free of chemicals, things like that. For your face, I would say mascara is a big one.
I would never think about natural mascara. Why is that? Like, let's get into that. Because I'm still using, like, the same CoverGirl mascara that I've been using since middle school, so.
Yeah. I think that it's tar they use. I want to say it's, like, coal tar they use in normal mascaras. But I think just really, since it's so close to your eyelids, it's just a big irritant. And especially when you're, like, taking your makeup off, too, it's just right there around your eyes.
No, that makes total sense. That really does make sense, because your eyes are also incredibly absorbent. Like, think about, you know, just how irritated your eyes might get if you're, like, walking in a really polluted area or...
Yeah, exactly.
Just things like that. So that makes total sense that mascara is something to be concerned about.
Yeah, I looked at my notes, like, coal tar dyes, formaldehyde, parabens. Parabens are used for preserving, but don't need those. Like, I promise I could name a ton of good mascaras, but yeah. Just gross thinking about that near your eyes, you know?
No, yeah, now that you're pointing it out, that's, like, pretty gross, and I'm kind of disappointed in myself for not making that connection before. Honestly.
I know. Well, and the thing is, there's so many affordable, like, backing up. For me, I like to focus on clean products, and that's going to be different than natural for me, and this is just what you personally believe in. Some people are for the all-natural approach, no chemicals at all. I personally believe there are some synthetic chemicals that aren't toxic for us and can be, like, a good alternative to natural ingredients. I mean, poison ivy is natural, but that's harmful for us. Some people use products that are coming from endangered plants, like sandalwood, or even, like, animal byproducts if you're vegan in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
And truly, like, there's a lot of, like, synthetic safe chemicals that are also safe for the planet. They're sustainable, cruelty-free. And another important, again, it depends on who the person is and what they believe, but a lot of natural ingredients can be susceptible to climate and environmental changes, which can reduce efficacy. And that's, like, a big deterrent for some people for clean products or natural products. Like, now we have a lot of brands that are high in performing and high in efficacy, but those developed because there was a lack of efficacy in natural or clean products in the past. I personally like clean products in the sense that I believe there are some safe synthetic or synthetically derived ingredients for beauty and skincare.
Okay, I'm really glad that you said that, because I was going to ask you about some different labels that we associate with beauty products. So you said you look for clean beauty, and I think that I really resonate with what you said about, like, there are definitely some synthetic compounds that are safe for people and are environmentally friendly. We're living in a time where, I mean, as a scientist myself, I feel like we do have to kind of acknowledge that we're limited in the natural resources we have, and in order to, you know, avoid things like sandalwood, like animal cruelty, like, you know, just other environmental stressors, I guess, in a sense.
Yeah.
We do kind of have to embrace that idea of synthetic compounds, but that's just, like, totally me. That's totally personal. So cruelty-free is just what we're associating with, like, a vegan lifestyle. So something that is just, like, totally not tested and not harming on animals at all. Just, like, as a background. And then
the difference between natural and clean would be, like, clean is including those synthetic compounds that we're talking about, yeah?
Yeah, the safe ones.
Okay, great. I'm really glad that we clarified that, because I feel like that's something that really intimidates me when I'm looking into new beauty products, is, like, the labels associated with everything.
Yes, totally. Another, like, I just thought of another example between, like, clean and natural. Mm-hmm. There's a brand, Biossance. They're one of the leaders in the industry. They highlight squalane, which people in the past have been killing sharks
mm-hmm.
for the squalane in their livers. And Biossance synthetically creates squalane from plants in lab, but they're doing it sustainably and resourcefully, and they donate and they save so many sharks every year. I don't know, it's just, it's like stories like that, or brands with stories like that, that really make me believe more so in clean than natural. But I don't want to deter anyone from what they believe, because if you believe in natural beauty or natural skincare, natural products, that's totally fine too.
I think that's a really interesting example of making compound that's hard to find in nature, or like something that's kind of detrimental to acquire, and then just making it in a lab and making it really sustainable. I think that's a really great move. Speaking of sustainability, something that I think about a lot is trash and waste, and just like trying to minimize my waste personally as much as I can. And I was wondering if we could talk a little bit about like expiration dates and the right way to dispose of makeup products or beauty products. I know that's a little bit random, but I think about it a lot just in the sense of like, I have a big bag of things that I don't necessarily use every day, you know, just like heavy blue eyeshadows and, you know, just things like that. Like, how do you get rid of beauty products?
So on the back of products, there's going to be like a little, it's like a little icon that's like a jar,
mm-hmm.
and then it'll say like a number and then M, and that's going to be like the expiration from when you open it. I'm looking at a product and it says 12M on that little jar, and that means it expires in 12 months from when you open it. I think next to that, if it's recyclable, there's going to be that little recycling triangle. You might be able to talk more to this. I'm looking at one that has the recycling triangle with a 4 in it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know anything about that?
I assume the 4 must be the kind of plastic.
The most that I know about it, like there's some companies that are B Corps within the clean beauty industry. I know Beauty Counter is one. I'm pretty sure Biossance is another one where they create. I mean, they have like to be considered a B Corp, you're having to meet the high standards of like verified social and environmental performance, a certain amount of like public transparency in what you're including, and there's like a legal accountability component to balancing profit and purpose. But I know within the sustainability part of that, the package has to be sourced sustainably. So I think that all the product containers or packaging, that all has to be recyclable. I just put those products in my recycling bin, and then I guess it just ships off. But I guess, like, you know, I don't know how much in the recycling plants, how much water they're using to rinse off the products.
Right, right.
I don't know. There's so much that goes into it.
No, I'm glad that you talked a little bit about B Corp, because that's something that I'm also just interested in. And I know that Beauty Counter is a B Corp corporation, and I'm so glad that you talked about just the idea of sustainably sourcing packaging and materials and things like that, because I feel like for some reason the like delivery mechanism for a lot of beauty and skincare products is not necessarily something that we think about a whole lot. Especially when it comes to packaging. I'm so glad you talked about the icons, because I just pulled out a little a liquid eyeshadow, and it has a little jar on it, and it said 12 months, and I've never even noticed the little expiration date, so I'm so glad that you said that.
Yeah, I think I'm looking at other ones. I think if it's recyclable, it'll have that little recycling thing on it.
Awesome. I'm glad that you kind of touched on that.
No, you brought it up, so that's perfect.
So what are some like really easy ways to kind of switching over to like skincare, more specifically, some easy ways to think about sustainability and clean beauty when it comes to skincare?
Yeah. So really there's a long list of ingredients that you're not going to want to use. I would say the big ones, parabens. So that's going to include like methylparaben, isobutylparaben, propylparaben, and there's others, but if it has that, like, ending, you don't want that. Basically, parabens are going to be endocrine disruptors, which are going to alter hormone mechanisms in your body, can even disrupt, like, or cause infertility. Things like that are not normal, you know? And endocrine disruptors in themselves can be an irritant to your skin. Phthalates are another one, you know, P-H-T-H-A-L-A-T-E-S. That's another one that you're going to want to stay away from. That's another endocrine disruptor. That's going to be like DBP, TEHP, and DEP. You know, that's how you're going to recognize it on a label. PEGs or polyethylene glycol. That's widely used in cosmetics as like a thickener, solvent, softener, or moisture carrier, known to be carcinogens. Another one that's kind of controversial in the, you know, clean beauty, just the beauty industry as a whole, is retinopalmitate and retinol. If you're into retinol and that for anti-aging products, I know that Biossance makes a good alternative to that. And I mean, people call it like the natural Botox of the industry. So if you're looking for those types of results, I would recommend that one. Another big ingredient to watch out for is sodium lauryl sulfate, and or otherwise known as sodium laureth sulfate, which is SLS. You'll see that on some bottles. Those can cause skin irritation and trigger allergies, even if you didn't know you had an allergy. And then there's one more after this, but personally, I found that ingredients like linalool and limonene, there's a few others with those same kind of endings that you'd recognize, but those have been a huge irritant for my skin. That's even like Tata Harper. I can't use that, even though that's like a big brand name in the clean beauty industry. I just wouldn't recommend any of those. I don't recommend that brand to other people. I'm not knocking on it, but I would much rather use a brand that didn't have to include those ingredients. They use them for just fragrance. And segueing from fragrance, you're definitely going to want to stay away from any products that say they have fragrance in it. Basically, companies use fragrance as a way to hide. Basically, they can put it on there because they can say that it's like proprietary information, or in English, if you don't know what proprietary means, like they can kind of patent that formula as like trade secrets, so nobody can copy them. But really, a lot of companies use that. It's like a loophole in the industry, really, for people to hide harmful chemicals without the consumer being able to know. So people will pick that up and think it's safe, but it's really, it's so many like hundreds of harmful ingredients can be in that one technical fragrance ingredient that they're listing. Does that make sense?
No, that makes total sense. And I'm so glad that you talked about fragrance as this legal loophole, because fragrance is something that, like, I'm very hyper aware of when I'm buying a new product. There are a lot of things that have fragrance that, like, totally don't need to have them. And I do have relatively sensitive skins, so if I can avoid fragrance, I will. You know, like, we were talking about tampons earlier, and there are tampons that have fragrance in them for no reason at all. That's silly. Or the one that always gets me is that I use a witch hazel toner, and there's an unscented witch hazel toner, and then they have all of these other scents like lavender, roses, whatever. And it's just kind of silly because it's all kind of the same product. It's something that's being absorbed like right into your pores, but it doesn't really make sense for a witch hazel toner or a tampon or something like that to have fragrance. Like,
it already smells good with the, do you use Thayer's?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I have the unscented too, and I do the alcohol free. I mean, I don't personally understand. I think the witch hazel unscented already smells good itself.
I totally agree.
You don't need to be using scented ones on that.
Yeah.
And lavender on your skin can be super irritating for a lot of people. If you use it and it doesn't irritate you, you're one of the lucky ones. But yeah, that's unscented is the way you want to go.
Yeah.
But there are, like, a lot of brands are able to put, you know, like, natural fragrances from the ingredients in, you know, in their products. So it's not like you have to go unscented for everything. Like, Beauty Counter, again, is a big one that I use, and everything smells good. And it's not from, like, perfume or fragrance that they put in it. It's from, like, the natural ingredients they include in it, you know?
Yeah, I'm glad you pointed that out, because definitely, like, not all fragrance is bad, and that's not at all what I'm trying to say, but you're totally right. Like, there are so many natural things that already smell nice, or natural ingredients that people are including into their products that are already smelling nice. So there's not really a reason to think about like artificial fragrances being added for.
Yeah. I forgot to ask you, what deodorant do you use?
I use one. The brand is called Jason, actually, and the O has two dots over it. I actually found it at the TJ Maxx, so I was buying the Schmitz Naturals for a really long time, but then I got, like, some sort of weird rash. I guess I'm getting, like, really personal here on the podcast, but yeah, I was getting, like, some sort of weird rash out of nowhere. Like, I developed it after months of using the Schmitz Natural deodorants. I've heard really good things about.
That happens for a lot of people. You know what it is?
What?
Is the baking soda in it.
Is it?
Yeah, and I don't know why, I can't even begin to explain why it would develop over a long time period. I think it might be, like, that your body finally detoxed from the aluminum, from what I've, you know, what I've done my research on.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that crazy that it takes that long to,
that like, is detox so interesting. It on its own? That's so sad, also. That makes me really upset.
But, I use Schmitz, but I use the sensitive skin one, and mm-hmm. that just, I mean, that formula uses no baking soda, basically.
Interesting.
I would always get rashes too.
Interesting. My favorite kind of deodorant, honestly, is my mom and my sister always give me a really hard time, but I love those like wet deodorants, like those, like they're the gels. Paste. Yeah. I love those. Those are my favorite. And I feel like it's such a strange, like niche preference in deodorant in a sense. And I feel like I haven't really found like a good wet natural deodorant yet, so I'm still like kind of on the hunt. And this one I have now is like more of a gel, but again, it's just called Jason, and it's from a TJ Maxx or something, because I was having these like crazy rashes and I was just like, I need to pick up whatever I can find that doesn't have aluminum in it. And
that brand's like super accessible too. We have them in like one of the big grocery stores in Texas is HEB, and they have them in there. TJ Maxx and Marshalls have so many good natural brands I've found.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of my favorite more natural products I have found from like a TJ Maxx or Marshalls, because when I go into a place like even like a Sephora, I'm just a little bit overwhelmed. Like it's so many options. I don't know what I want to pick. I don't know what ingredients I can like really sit there and read about. With anyone who works in sales, like I'm so thankful for anyone who wants to help, because I'm the kind of customer to like harass someone at like a store, because I'm like, I need this exact product and this is like exactly what I'm looking for, X, Y, and Z. Harass isn't necessarily the word that I want to use, but you know what I mean? It's just like, I'm so specific about what I'm looking for. So when I'm in a TJ Maxx, I feel like I can just like sit there and read all of the boxes and all of the bottles and make sure that I am finding exactly what I want.
Yeah, totally. And the thing with Sephora is, I mean, they have that new, the new, like, clean beauty list. But, I mean, I've gone through and looked, and there's so many harmful ingredients in a lot of those brands. So I don't trust that Sephora. I need to do a post on that, like, showing which brands I think are best on the Sephora clean list. Because a lot of them have totally harmful products that are terrible for your skin.
I'm so glad that you mentioned this new Sephora clean list, because the last thing I was going to ask you was if there's any really good helpful resources for people who want to learn more about the products that they're buying, or if they're interested in getting into skincare a little bit more, or beauty, or whatever it might be. So you have so many great resources on your website, which I will totally link in the show notes below. But I was wondering if you had any other good resources.
So the two big ones, okay, the first one that I love is the Environmental Working Group. They have an app they have like a whole database of ingredients and rank them like 1 to 10. And it's like color coded too, like green's good, yellow's like okay, red is bad. And they also like rate the products too. And that's my favorite resource. It's the most accurate. They don't have, like, every single product ever in that database, but they do have a bunch. And if you're, like, want to search, a shampoo or something, they'll give you what their recommendations for what they think is safe. And then if I'm, like, out shopping somewhere and I'm, like, looking at ingredients, I mean, this is, like, pretty tedious, but I can, like, I'll go through every ingredient I don't recognize. I mean, I've gotten pretty good at recognizing what numbers correlate to which ingredient, but I'll go through and search every product on their every ingredient on their database.
That is such a good tip.
Just to know like a general number if it's safe or not. And then if people like don't want to do that, I love doing that. So if you have a product you're wondering about, feel free to DM me, email me. I'll totally look it up for you if I don't already know. Another resource is Think Dirty. It's not as accurate as EWG, and it's going to depend on. They deem a bunch of like natural acids as harmful, but I think a lot of those are safe and actually good for your skin. Glycolic acid or salicylic acid, like the AHAs and BHAs, that we could have a whole other podcast on those. But for that, you're going to have to look at like the ingredients and kind of deem what you feel is safe and what's not. And a lot of the products they rate, they haven't rated like all the ingredients in it, so it can be patchy, but it's just another good place to start, and they have good recommendations also on there.
Yeah, I think that's a really great one. I have the Think Dirty app, and my favorite thing about it is they have this little feature that, yes, you can look up any products that you already have in your home, but if you're out shopping, you can scan the barcode of an item, and it will break it down for you. And I found the same thing, like a lot of big brands, they don't necessarily have on, but then there are a lot of things that I'm always surprised about of what they rate. Like, I have a Philosophy face wash, and I think that's like 10, it's like everything is rated on a scale of 1 to 10, and 10 being the most harmful to you. And then I feel like my Philosophy face wash is like a 7 or something like that, which really shook me. So I think Dirty is a really interesting resource, but yeah, it's definitely something to take with a grain of salt, but kind of a good guide when you're just out shopping and you're not sure about something.
For sure, for sure. At this point, I like to order everything online because I know which brands I like and which work for my skin. But yeah, I mean, I do go out and shop too and like to look things up. So yeah, those would be the two that I recommend. And then I'd love to be a resource myself to people too.
Yeah, and where can everyone find you?
Okay, so people can find me on my blog, Instagram. It's SURSUBLIMITE, Sura Sublimite, and then same spelling, surasublimite.com. And then my email will be on both of those if you have any questions, or you can DM me too.
Awesome.
Happy to answer anything.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for hanging out today and just chatting. This was such a nice way to start my Sunday. I feel so enlightened and like ready to take on so many things that my skincare and beauty routine are going to throw at me today.
Me too, for sure. And I'm inspired to write a blog post on that Sephora clean beauty list too.
I hope you guys enjoyed that episode, All About Clean Beauty. I truly feel so enlightened, and I feel like I've awoken to so many things going on in my cosmetic bag, or even just at the drugstore or at a Sephora or whatever it might be. So I'm really, really excited to continue the conversation and continue using all of these great resources that Hallie has suggested for us. And if you are interested in connecting with her, reading her blog, following her on Instagram, whatever it might be, I will have all of Hallie's links down in the show notes. And she is a really great wealth of knowledge, as I said. So I hope that today's conversation gave you a little bit of insight on the clean beauty industry and also just how it could work for you. At the end of every episode of Eco Chic, we have been answering listener questions. So I'm really excited today to be talking about Christmas and gift giving and the holiday season. So actually, two episodes ago, I did a whole episode all about just like turkeys, leftovers, how to gift, things of the sort. And today's question is actually about gift wrap. So I did touch on that a little bit in that episode, but I want to go ahead and talk a little bit more about it today. So the deal with gift wrap is basically that most wrapping papers are not recyclable at all. So think about the shiny wrapping papers. Those are totally not recyclable. But a wrapping paper that you could recycle is brown craft paper, or it's called masking paper if you buy it from like a Home Depot or another home improvement store like that. And I'm really a big fan of those brown wrapping papers. I think they're just really chic and like farmhouse-ish, like very Joanna Gaines. But also on the topic of wrapping, you can think about wrapping things with newspaper, which I've been given gifts wrapped in newspaper before, and they've been really, really cute. Just you put a little bow on it and twine or whatever it might be. But you can also think about reusable gift bags. So just a stereotypical bag that you might find at the store, a Christmas bag, but also there's a lot of cloth bags with drawstrings. I know growing up, my parents had these really big drawstring bags that we would use every year. If you got some sort of like really large toy, they would put them in the same bags every year. You can also think about just wrapping things in a cloth or like a handkerchief type fabric. And I think those are always really cute too if you learn how to tie them with just any like Pinterest tutorial or whatever it might be. That's a great route to go. There's a lot of really great, insightful, creative ways that you can give a gift. So another one that I love is a basket. So I'll buy a basket like at a TJ Maxx or a craft store, whatever it might be. Or I feel like for some reason growing up, I always had so many baskets lying around. Like my friends were really into giving things in baskets. But a basket is something that you can reuse, especially if it's something a little bit taller that you can use to just like put knickknacks in. And then the gift you put inside could be like a candle or something really useful. So yeah, so that's just like my 2 cents worth on the gift wrapping situation. I think there's a lot of ways that you can think about gift wrapping without wasting too much paper or even just producing too much trash in general. So gift giving is important to think about from a perspective of how can I buy something, you know, local, sustainable, artisan made, you know, whatever it might be, low carbon footprint, or even just gifts to give a friend to live more sustainably. Like if you want to give beeswax wraps or those reusable grocery bags or whatever it might be, those are really obvious sustainability gifts. And I would love to write a little blog post on good sustainable gift ideas if that's something that you're interested in. But today I'm really hoping that the idea of gift wrapping is something that you think a little bit more consciously about this holiday season. That is it for today's episode of Eco Chic. If you enjoyed this episode, please go ahead and leave me a review and leave me a rate wherever it is that you like to listen to podcasts. That's how people find the podcast, and that's how we can continue to grow and educate people and just grow this community. And I'm so, so thankful for all of y'all. If you've received a sticker from me in the mail, please go ahead and leave a rate and review. It's literally the least you can do. And if you want a sticker, please go ahead and DM me on Instagram, and you can find me at Laura E. Diaz, D-I-E-Z, or at Eco Chic Podcast. And both of those are always down below. You can also email me, laura@lauraediaz.com, which is also always written in the show notes. And otherwise, I hope you guys have a really great week. I'll see you on Tuesday.